Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Listen, Jesus said you will experience trials and tribulation, but this is the best part. He also said, but you take heart. You take heart, he said, for I have overcome the world.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Welcome aboard, Truth Seekers. I'm so excited to be with you today, and I'm coming to you from inside the Truth Infusion Studios here in Redwater, Texas, and it's a beautiful day outside, and I've enjoyed a wonderful day with my daughter, Reagan. We kind of had a daddy-daughter date today. We went and ate Mexican food, and we went and bowled, and we went and shopped a little bit. Yes, gentlemen, I went shopping with my daughter, and we had a great time. Come here, Reagan. I'm going to bring Reagan up to the microphone. Did you have a good time today?
Yes.
And tell everybody how old you are.
9.
9 years old. And we played 3 games of bowling. And who won the last game?
Me.
She did beat me the last game by 4 points. I almost said 4 strokes, but we weren't playing golf, were we?
No.
Did you have a good time?
Yes.
Okay, give Dad a sugar on his cheek. Love you. Amen. So that's my daughter, my number one and only and favorite daughter in the wide world. Did you know that, Reagan? You're my favorite?
Because I'm your only.
Right, that's right. Amen. We had a great time today. Guys, going to start something new today, and I'm excited about this. God put this on my heart a while ago. And let me tell you kind of where this study came from, and then we're going to introduce this today, see how far we get with the time that we have in the show. But let me just say this. This is Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. And we're going to do our best to get into a subject that I think, well, let me take that back, that I know affects all of us in one time or another. And when it does affect you, it is an overwhelming and overpowering thing. And it is well worth talking about. This is how this particular study came about. My mother is one of the leaders in a women's ministry in her church. It's Mulberry Springs Baptist Church out of Hallsville, Texas. And within that church, she and a couple of other ladies head up a ministry for women called Heart to Heart. And Heart to Heart has become very effective over the last couple of years. And they will minister to 70 or 80 women on a monthly basis when they come together for their meetings. Well, my mother called me a few months ago, and she said, David, we want you to come and speak. And I said, I'd be glad to do that. And then she said, here's what we need. Would like for you to come and speak on the topic of grief. Grief and how a Christian should deal with grief. And she told me some reasons why they felt like that was a necessary topic for the ladies that they ministered to at this time. And several people had gone through some loss, several of these ladies and families, and some of them were really struggling through that. And they wanted to know, how do we as Christians rightly and appropriately deal with grief? What does the Bible say about it? Well, I was glad to say yes, wanted to be able to help them at the point of their need. But I'll tell you honestly, when she requested that of me, I was a little bit nervous about it. And I'll tell you why. I had not done it before. Taught on many subjects, topics, Bible studies, but never on grief itself, especially as regards appropriately dealing with it. What does the Bible say about it? How does Scripture line this out? And honestly, nothing specifically came to mind as far as teaching on that. And time went on and rocked on and had not yet began to receive from the Lord any direction. And I remember just a few days before I was scheduled to go down to the Hallsville area and meet with these ladies, I sat there in front of my computer with my Bible laid out and just began to pray. Said, God, I don't know what to do. You're going to have to give me some direction. Show me what you want. And as I was praying, it was honestly, it felt like within about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, God opened up in front of me and before my very eyes the basic outline of what he wanted me to do and how he wanted me to teach this subject. And there it was. And I looked at this basic outline and I thought, my goodness, that had to have come from God because it came so easily and quickly and it makes so much sense. And then I went on for the next couple of days putting the flesh on the bones, if you will, and turning it into an actual Bible study. And I went down there and they had some 70 or 80 ladies that night gathered. And we began to teach and talk about what the Bible says about dealing with the emotion of grief and dealing with loss. We had an altar call that night, and several ladies came forward, tears streaming. I was crying and just was able to pray over them, for they had heard from God, and it was a blessing. And so I knew back then this was more than just worth that one night at my mother's church. And since then, I've been asked to come to grief support groups and deal with families that have just experienced loss. I've been since then asked to become a chaplain of a hospice. So it seems as though God had this in mind as something that I would do and minister to those that are in need. And I was not looking for it. It kind of came out of nowhere. But with God and the Holy Spirit specifically dealing and working through us, we can do things that we never thought we would be able to do, that we had never put our mind to before. When the time comes and we open our mouths in those situations, if we are in line with the Spirit, He can offer us wisdom and speak through us with wisdom of word. And not wisdom of men, but wisdom that comes through the truth in the Bible. And it ministers to hearts and change lives. And so what I want to begin to do over the next few weeks is I want to offer you exactly what I did those ladies that night, what I have taught in various different places and events since then. And I want to talk to you about dealing with grief. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, more than anything right now, we need your presence. God, what we are about to go into, you placed on my heart. This is from you. It's not from David. It's from you, Lord. And this is going to affect some people right where they are. Lord, there are some people listening today that are struggling with this very thing. Maybe a death occurred some months or years ago, and they still haven't been able to come to grips with grief. And Lord, right now I ask that you would apply your Holy Spirit to this teaching so that whatever issues forth would be from you. And in that case, it would touch their hearts and make them well. In Jesus' name, amen. Illness, tragedy, pain, death, loss, denial, loneliness, depression, change, irreconcilable change. This is the question that I had to deal with as I began to look at this. Why is grief the most overwhelming emotion that we as humans deal with? Why does it come so hard? Why does it stay so long? And how do we sort through it? I mean, once it is upon you, once it comes, I don't care if the death occurred tragically in an instant or whether it was from a long drawn out disease process. Once the grief is upon you, does it ever really go away? As I prepared for this, one of my favorite authors and writers and theologians and modern-day philosophers is C.S. Lewis. His writings are just almost unmatchable in the modern era. And I knew that C.S. Lewis had written a book, so I went to that book. It was called A Grief Observed. And just the title and the fact that it was coming from him, I knew there would be some insights to glean from in this writing. What I did not know is this was not a book he wrote. He had not written a book that he titled A Grief Observed. What he had done in his life, he had lost his wife. Had lost his wife, his soulmate. You read this book, just a little bit of it, and you realize, oh, just how important this lady was to him personally and spiritually an amazing loss for C.S. Lewis, and he began to journal his personal journalings and writings of this journey in grief after the loss of his wife. And in the book, he refers to her as H, just the letter H. And he chronicles, and it was his personal writings, his path through the valley of the shadow of death. And it doesn't take long to realize that it took him to places that he never saw coming. He thought that he understood grief. He had ministered to people while they were in grief. But until it came to his own doorstep, and it stepped inside his own house, well, what he found out is that the grief that he personally experienced rocked his world. And I want to give you just a glimpse. I don't think he meant for this journaling to be a book, but then coming back to it years later, sometime later, and reading over it, he put it down in book form and it was published. A Grief Observed. I challenge you to read it, but prepare yourself. It's not a self-help book. It is a book of sorrow as he details how he went through that time. I want to read you a couple of passages out of C.S. Lewis's book, A Grief Observed, just to begin to introduce this study. Here's what he says. No one ever told me that grief felt so much like fear. I am not afraid, but the sensation is like being afraid. Meanwhile, where is God? This is one of the most disquieting symptoms. When you are happy, you will be, or so it feels, welcomed with open arms. But go to Him, speaking of God, go to Him when your need is desperate, when all other help is vain, and what do you find? A slammed door in your face, and the sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence. You may as well turn away. Now, I want you to keep in mind, truth seekers, he's not writing something for you and me. He's writing his own personal feelings and what he was feeling as he was going through just the days after his wife died. He's just writing his own feelings out. He goes on to say, not that I am, I think, in much danger of ceasing to believe in God. The real danger is coming to believe such dreadful things about Him. The conclusion I dread is not, so there's no God after all, but it is, so this is what God is really like. Deceive yourself no longer. Truth seekers, can you hear his pain and confusion? This theologian, this man of God, this spiritual powerhouse, reduced down in a moment of grief, an overwhelming grief, to not saying there is no God, but wondering, have I misunderstood what he was really like? Is this what he's really like? I feel so alone right now. Do you see the twisting of emotions and perception that grief brings? And I wonder how many of you have recognized this in your personal experience. How many of you right now are driving in your vehicle or sitting at your work desk or at your house and you are recognizing what C.S. Lewis is talking about because you've dealt with this yourself? Well, sometime later, C.S. Lewis, he returns to his writings in the same book. This goes on over time, and you can tell as the book progresses, as Grief Observed progresses, that his emotions progress also. And he returns to his writings and begins noting a concept that is more realistic than some of us may be willing to admit. I think more realistic than C.S. Lewis was willing to admit at that time. Let me read this section, this passage. Listen to this. What new factor has H's death introduced into the problem of the universe? What grounds has it given me for doubting all that I believe? I know already that these things and worse happen daily. We were even promised sufferings in the Bible. They were part of the program. We were even told, blessed are those that mourn. And I accepted it. I've got nothing that I hadn't bargained for. He goes on and says, and it wouldn't for a man whose faith had been real faith, whose concern for other sorrows had been real concern. If my house has collapsed at one blow, that is because it was a house of cards. Let me read that line again because he's recognizing something of himself. It's very important. He says, if my house has collapsed at one blow, that is because it is a house of cards. If I had really cared, as I thought I did, about the sorrows of the world, I should not have been so overwhelmed when my own sorrow came. It has been an imaginary faith playing with words like illness and pain and death and loneliness. I thought I trusted the rope until it mattered to me whether it would bear me. Now it matters, and I find it didn't. Wow. Wow. From C.S. Lewis. There before you, in your life, perhaps right now, is a house of cards. C.S. Lewis determined that what he thought he was came to bear when death and grief shook his life. He thought it was a house of faith, but when his faith was truly tested, it fell apart like a house of cards. And some of you have experienced these very things. Is there an answer? Can your house of cards be rebuilt? Should it be rebuilt? Or will the grip of grief always have a chokehold on your life? When you take someone that is held up as a great thinker and theologian and apologetic forerunner of the modern times, someone like C.S. Lewis, and then you see him in the condition of grief, and you see what it did to him personally, well, it can kind of make you think, well, if he struggled like that, what is it going to be like for me? I've entitled this study, and it should take, I think, probably another 4 weeks or so after today, In the Grip of Grief. And the reason I say 4 weeks is because the grip of grief, as God gave this outline to me, I imagine a hand that is gripped tightly around your life, squeezing what feels like the life air out of you. A grip, a hand, four fingers and a thumb. Now, dealing with death, a biblical approach here, has 5 points that God gave me. And every one of these points is like one finger, two fingers, three fingers, four fingers, and a thumb. And when we finally get to the end, my prayer for you is that the grip of grief has come open, one finger at a time, and you felt it loosen over your life. So what we want to do in the rest of this segment is deal with the first point. The first point of dealing with the grip of grief and seeing it come open in your life. Here's what I title the first point. You ready? Identify the pain. Rely on the promise. Identify the pain. Rely on the promise. Romans 4, verse 19 says this. Paul is speaking about Abraham, and he's teaching on justification by faith. But I want to show you something else that God gave me from these verses. Romans 4, verse 19, he's talking of Abraham, and he says, Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, the word considered here, he considered not his own body now dead. This word considered in the Greek is katanoeo, and it means to consider attentively, very closely, to study, to fix your eyes upon it. And the best text, here's an important point of this verse, the best text that we have omit the negative connotations. In other words, where some of the times the translations will read, he considered not his own body now dead, that really is not correct. Take out the word not, and it should read something like this. Abraham, not weak in faith, considered now his own body as dead. Okay? Not weak in faith, Abraham considered the situation at hand. He stared at the obstacles to the promise he was given, and he knew his body was 100 years old, guys. Abraham was an intelligent man. He knew his body and Sarah's body were far past the procreation stage of life, all right? And his body had ceased to function that way, and in the present condition would remain dead. Abraham knew that. But Abraham had been given a promise. God had taken Abraham out and showed him the stars one day and said, son, one of these days, I'm going to give you a son. And ultimately, you're going to be the father of a nation whose numbers outnumber the stars of the sky that you're looking at right now. A promise that said, you will have a son. Now, immediately, that promise would be the son that Abraham and Sarah would have. Ultimately, we know that promise was Christ. He was the promised son. But Abraham knew in order for that to happen, he had to have his own child born. He had a promise, but he had obstacles in his way. He had problems in his way. He was 100 years old and Sarah was almost 100, but he considered that. Now I want you to see this. We must remember that God is in control, even when we feel like our lives are out of control, and grief will do that to you. We cannot live life by our emotions, even though sometimes our emotions overwhelm us. Let's be honest with one another right now. We live life not according to emotions. We live life as Christians according to the promises of God. And when the natural circumstances of life become overwhelming, we must rely on the supernatural ability of a powerful God. It doesn't mean we deny that we've got a problem. Abraham considered the problem, right? He knew he was dead in his body, that Sarah was dead in her womb. He understood that. Smart man, Abraham was. But that death did not frighten him because he relied on the promise. God is not diminished because we face the facts of life, child of God. And his promises don't fail because we admit that life stinks at the moment that we are living in. And this idea of ignore it and it will go away, you know what? That doesn't work. We don't teach our children to act that way. We don't either. Or maybe that person's dead, so now we don't want to say their name. Or maybe we don't want to mess with anything in their room. Let's just leave it just the way it is. Or maybe we don't mention death or cancer or the word terminal. Well, Abraham took a good look at the facts, and he recognized the difficulty, but his faith was strong in the promise that God had made him. Abraham believed that God would bring life out of his dead body. And God acted on Abraham's faith, and ultimately, a son came forth. Now, maybe your loved one is gone. Truth seeker, let me talk with you personally now. Maybe your loved one is gone. Maybe that just happened. Maybe it happened a good long time ago, but maybe you're still broken inside and you're hurting. You don't think you can stand another day like this. Maybe you feel isolated and alone. Perhaps you feel like nobody understands. Grief will bring that on you. Maybe you think today there's no real end in sight. This is just going to go on and on. Okay. All that may feel very, very true. And it doesn't mean you're less of a Christian or some kind of spiritual weakling because you admit that. Here's what I'm saying to you this morning. Face your feelings. Look them in the eye. Consider them the way Abraham did. And then stand on the fact that God has made promises to you. Promises that will not fall to the ground. Promises like, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And that word blessed or blessed means spiritually prosperous. You may feel like you are just sucking dirt on the bottom of the lake. You may feel like a bottom feeder because of what grief has done to you right now. But the Bible says to you, spiritually prosperous are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's a promise. Let me give you another promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said that. As he was rising up off the ground, heading back to heaven, he promised his disciples, when you go to the ends of the earth to do my work as my children, I will not leave you no matter where you go, no matter how it feels in life. I will not forsake you. You may feel like you're forsaken, but don't let your feelings override what you know, truth seekers. You have not been left alone. You are not alone. He is still with you. Here's another promise. I love this verse, Jesus speaking to his disciples. The night of the Lord's Supper, he tells them this, I tell you this, that you might have peace. How many of you need peace right now in your life? How many of you are dealing with grief and you could use some peace? Listen, I tell you this, that you might have peace. In this world, Jesus says, you will experience trials and tribulation. So let's put aside these teachings from these mainline pastors that are saying that if you believe hard enough, you can just waltz right through life and everything will come up roses and the sun will keep shining every day. Listen, Jesus said, you will experience trials and tribulation. But this is the best part. He also said, but you take heart. And I want you to hear that. take heart. Jesus wants to tell you why. Listen, you take heart. He said, for I have overcome the world. In this world, you will experience trials and tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Here's one more promise for you. All things. For we know all things work for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. All things. Now, sometimes this verse is misunderstood. It does not say all things are good for those that love the Lord. It says, for we know this, all things work for good. So this pit that you are in, that you don't know how to climb out of, it's going to work for your good. You say, there's no way, I don't see how. I've lost the love of my life, I'll never be the same. Well, maybe so, but you'll probably end up better than you ever were when God holds His promises to truth, and you will stand up one day and testify to the glory of God. For all things work for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Here's the ultimate bottom line of part one of this Grip of Grief study. True faith does not ignore the pain, but it remains steadfastly focused on the promise. And why do we do that? Because we know that God's promises cannot fail. Truth seeker, when your emotions override what you know in your mind, what you know the Bible says in the Word, you at least hang on to this. His promises will not fail. So I can wrap my heart around these promises and know that even though I don't feel like it today, there is good news in my way and there's a better day coming, for His promises will not fail. This is just part one. You come back next week as we begin to dive into part two. Let's identify this problem. Why is grief so overwhelming? We'll talk about it next week. Until then, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.